Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Here we go for another week. Big trading week, Dano, and we're going to dive right into it.
Yep. And you know what's good, Paddo?
Richmond beating Sydney.
Better than that. I'm not in a fucking car in Morwell recording. So
Dano is safe.
And Paddo has been doing the editing and has probably been bashing his head against a brick wall over it. So
it hasn't been too bad.
We are good now. We are good. Anyway, we'll go on to the group winner, and that was Vinny with his team Plunk Ball, Paddo, scoring a beautiful 1,987. Who did he have?
Yeah, so a lot of the usual suspects. I do see that he held on to Nick Martin, which was disgusting watching him get 87,000 touches on the weekend as someone that traded him out, but that's what St Kilda let defenders do. Usual suspects, Luke Ryan, Nick Dacos, Harry Sheezel in the back line. Bontempelli VC, which he didn't take, and he went with Heaney. Don't know if he listened to our advice on that, but I was pretty confident Heaney would go 130-plus against Richmond, which obviously happened. Got Big Maxi Gorn in the rucks as well. Gee, that's a problem not having him, Dano. And pretty stocks down. Interesting Max Holmes owner, which isn't very common. And on his bench, he has Lockie Whitfield and Sam Flanders. So still winning the group without two primos, which I think is pretty impressive, Dano. And also has had Cadman and Sexton on the forward line. Apologies, I've had a couple of Suntories, and they fucking hit you. They are sneaky.
Yeah. Anyway, Paddo, we'll move on to injuries and suspension. So to start off with, Tommy Stewart went off the ground in his game versus the Hawks with concussion, but came back on. But he's not listed with concussion, but we always know those head knocks can get you later, Paddo.
Yeah, just have a plan. Blake House has been named for tomorrow night, which is good if you have him as cover, but the next guy we're going to talk about is out. So if you only have six playing players and you are a Tom Stewart owner, just have a backup plan. He does play Saturday night, so we're going to know early enough to be able to make changes probably. But, yeah, delayed onset concussion syndrome is a thing, and hopefully doesn't get Stewart because I am an owner. Just quickly, though, Dano, how does Geelong get away with all this shit? So Tom Hawkins uses a phone in a thunderstorm break. And they get a warning, and I think it was Essendon did it last year or the year before and got a 50K fine. Like, how the fuck does that work? But anyway.
Fuck Geelong. That's how that works. Moving on, we got Marty Hoare with that finger. So he's out for 3 to 4 weeks. That hurts owners. We did discuss whether or not Marty Hoare was a good trading option last week, and hopefully people didn't get on because that's just unlucky, but hey, we did warn you guys that Steve May and whatnot were returning. So, yeah, a bit of rubbing salt in the wounds there, Paddo. Moving on, though, Marcus Windhager. This one hurts a few, Paddo, because a few were actually looking at bringing him in. So he's suspended for 1 week. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think for people bringing him in, it was a risk anyway. The role was there, but we only saw it for 1 week, and it was kind of a role which saw him go a bit with Dacos against the Pies. The midfield role was still there, but at the end of the day, he is a second-year player, and he scored 60-odd and also got himself suspended. So really tough one. Do you concede it's a mistake and you trade back out of it, Dano, or do you kind of hold on and try and back yourself in? But it's a tough call.
I feel like you have to back yourself in, and he's not a second-year player, Paddo. He's a third-year player.
Same shit.
So, yeah, I think you have to try and back yourself in there. Put him on the pine, loop option this week, but it just stings a bit when he's in defender listed as well, isn't he? So yeah. It hurts a bit in defense at the moment. Moving on, Ollie Wines, those fucking tree trunks. He's done a hammy, or not really done a hammy, but, you know, probably hamstring awareness or tightness or whatever the fuck it's called these days. 1 week, Paddo.
Yeah, I reckon this is people's opportunity to jump off and fix up your structure. I think this year is the year of the Guns and Rooks, and if you can use the cash on Ollie Wines to go up with going down on a rookie, obviously you can turn him into a midfielder. We're going to talk about a couple very very soon. So we'll give you a couple of options there that you can jump on, but I think you use that. Like, he's scoring okay for his price, but I think if you put an extra 100K or so on him, you can turn him into something really nice.
Yeah, yeah. Is this Callum Coleman-Jones here, Paddo, Achilles?
Yeah, not super, super coach relevant himself. That looked really nasty, by the way, for anyone that saw that. But I think it opens up a spot. We'll see who they go with. They've got Charlie Comben, who has played a little bit of footy. He's 227K, so that's probably a bit yuck. But the one I'm hoping to get is Finbar, who I believe is a 102K, as he doesn't come up on my Supercoach fucking search bar. So that is just great. There we go. Finbar Maley, 102K ruck forward. So hopefully that is a nice 102K rookie that we get for cash cow, because we need some cash cows.
Yep, yeah. Wayne Miller, next one, done his knee, out for the season. That halfback spot open, but there is also a guy that I want to talk about in a little bit that took a lot of kick-ins, Paddo, so it could benefit him. Don't know. We'll keep these. Oh, yep, you go.
We do have teams, and they have named a couple of halfbacks in there, so I guess we'll see how it looks, but they've brought in Nankervis, they've brought in Parnell, Butts is coming out to play as a fullback. So, yeah, I don't know. But we'll still talk about it.
Yep. Nick Watson, we'll power through this. Nick Watson, 4 to 6 weeks. Liam Baker, suspension 1 week. So maybe some midfield opportunities might pop up there. Noah Bolter is a fucking big one for you guys, Paddo, with that knee, 4 to 6 weeks. Tom Lynch, another big one. Hamstring, 12 weeks. Fucking, what's going on at Richmond, Paddo?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether it's different training regimes that's kind of affecting, which we see it in a lot of sports where a new coach comes in and sort of changes the way teams train. And sometimes in that first year, you do get a bit of injury concerns. I'm a mad EPL fan and I'm a Chelsea fan, and we have the bit the same with Pochettino. So, well, every fucking manager, we've got a new manager every 12 months, so we've got injuries every season. But possibly just that. I mean, Tom Lynch is a walking fucking mummy anyway, now. Yeah, bit of a key position issue at Richmond. Sam Naismith could potentially come in, but we'll talk about that.
And just before we go into the rookie trading options, we just want to point out to listeners that just to be mindful, because Fremantle do have some players to return. So those kicking Draper, who did look pretty good in defense with the eye test, Paddo, just be a bit aware that like your Chapmans and your Warners look to come back in.
Yep, absolutely.
So nice little segue there. We're going to rookie trading options. So another thing that we're going to quickly discuss, Paddo, is DPPs happen at the end of round six. And we've got a fair few that look like that they're going to get those dual positions in defense in particular.
Isn't it four round six?
I don't know. Double check that. If it's four round six, even better. But you got the likes of Matty Roberts and Colby McKercher that you can flick into defense because they're home and hose. They're getting 100% back there, which is well above the 35% threshold. Same with your Nick Martins and whatnot. So we're going to have a great deal in defense. And I just want people to bear that in mind. Like, there might be some short-term pain in defense, particularly with rookies, but it will end shortly.
Yeah, and we actually spoke about this before we started recording, Dano. My bench is currently Reed and Caulfield, and I'm holding on to those as long as I can, as long as I've got six players on field, because the best kind of trade-in options for someone like me who went Sam Darcy a week early is your Brown and Draper types. But I'm not sure they're worth the trade-in when we've got these extra guys that can be moved into our defense lines very, very soon in a couple of weeks. So it's cool your Jets on the defensive rookies, I think, unless obviously you are covering a donut on field.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Anyway, we'll start with the defensive rookies. So we've only got the two. I'm feel like glancing over him a little bit. So Tom Brown at 154K minus 35 break even, 62 average. And then you got Josh Draper at 123K minus 32 break even and 52 average. So Brown looks to have the better job security of the two, Paddo. Draper passed the eye test, especially in his second game. Like, I actually thought he was robbed a little bit of a better score. I think he got 68. What are your thoughts on Brown and Draper?
Yeah, I agree regarding Draper, by the way. I think he played a sort of 75 to 80 type game. But they do have older guys to come in to that back line. So you wouldn't have thought he'll get the axe, but Freo aren't looking superb on paper. They got pantsed by, I can't remember who. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I watched the game too. But anyway, look, I think Brown of the two has the better job security, but will be a bit of a slow burn. But as I said, I'm happy skipping these two guys and just waiting.
Yeah. Draper actually played against the Crows and Freo won, but it was a very low-scoring affair.
Right, yes, yes.
Yeah. I don't know if they even scraped 100 points between them. They did 103. 103 points between them. There you go.
Yuck.
Yeah, not good. Not good. We'll move on to the midfield then, Paddo. So we'll start with Jai Clark. 156K minus 39 break even. Only the 47 average, but that 13 that he got in round one is out of his rotation. So his break even is now a beautiful minus 39, and he's had back-to-back 60s. So would you consider him, or do you think that there's better options available?
I think he's a pretty decent option. Now, his ownership has actually gone down each of the last 3 weeks, mostly probably in part due to his 13 in round one. In his AFL debut, mind you, but the role was always there. He's in the middle. Dangerfield is still out. Obviously, Guthrie is out of that team as well. So he's going to continue getting those midfield minutes. He's starting to look better as well. His last game was a 68. That is fine. If he gets 60 to 70 every week, he'll progressively make some money, and his break even is negative 39. That will probably go up next week with another score around 60. They do have a tough game against the Dogs this week, so not easy to get the ball off Bontempelli and Libber and Treloar and that lot. But
can get tackles.
I think longer term, he can still make his 150 to 200K. It's just going to be over a longer period of time. He does play North Melbourne next round as well down in Geelong. So I think he's not a horrible trade-in option, and I think it was mad that people traded him out playing in the midfield.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the other one that we've got isn't really a rookie. I'd call him borderline mid-pricer here. Yeah. It's Elijah Hollins at 276K minus 7 break-even. He got that 116 in his one game. So he's still got another game before he's on the bubble. He looked really fucking good in that debut game, but he did play North Melbourne.
He did, and that's why people have to just give it another week. See how he goes against Freo this week. If he gets a score over 90, Dano, I think it's looking really good for next week, even though it's a really shit price point. But he'll make some good cash if he has another decent game this week.
Yeah. We're going to the Rucks now, which sounds weird saying, but we've got two here. So the first one is the baby giraffe, Toby Conway, at 180K, minus 12 break even, and he got that 83. He didn't look too bad, Paddo, and the 83 reflects it, but fuck me dead, did he look like a newborn giraffe?
I actually think he looked good. I think he looked really good. Worth noting, he plays the Dogs this week, so it's not a this week thing. Give it another week, see how he goes. And then we could look at bringing him in against North in round five and might make us some cash if he scores another 80-odd. Hawthorn, it is worth noting, are typically restrictive to rucks as well. So for him to get 83 is actually a pretty good effort, especially if you saw that game in the pissing rain.
Yeah. Now, the one that people will be talking about, Paddo, is Sam Naismith, 123K minus 44 break even. Got that 93 in opening round? Was it opening round?
Yeah, I ran.
Yeah. So, and then the Nank the Tank came back for round one. So people were actually going to start Naismith on the bench, got scared away, but now he could be playing.
Yeah, we'll see what Richmond do. I don't feel like they want to play two out-and-out rucks in Naismith and Nank. Otherwise, they probably would have played together before now. But with Lynch and Bolter going down, now Bolter has been playing as the backup ruck and as obviously the forward. Kaczynski has stunk it up in the VFL as well as the AFL in O-Round. So I think I put a line through his name, shockingly. Samson Ryan is the other one. Now, I don't think they can afford to bring in Ryan and Naismith and play Nank as well. That's just too much. So we'll see whether they go with Ryan or Naismith. It's worth noting that if Naismith is named and if he plays as well as Nank, unless they give Nank a rest, don't expect 93 from Naismith. It's not going to happen. But I think it could be okay as a cash maker, but it just sucks that it's in the ruck line, Dano.
Yeah. We'll move on to the forward line. But speaking of rucks, this bloke is actually getting above the 35% ruck threshold, which is Sam Darcy at 123K, minus 92 break-even, 82 average. Now, I've been weighing up getting this guy or another guy, and you'd think, Dano, why the fuck are you not just picking Sam Darcy straight out? And, oh, look, I might be if I use my first boost of the season. But, yeah, Sam Darcy, the thing that's slightly turning me off at the moment, Paddo, is who he plays for, more so in particular who his coach is. And I think his coach is a dumb fuck. And I could honestly see him not getting selected this week, which would make zero sense. But it's fucking Bevo. So yeah,
and Rory Lobby is banging down the door as well. He's had a couple of really good weeks at VFL level. There's another thing we spoke about before we started recording, Dano, is that I think Bevo needs to grab his wheelbarrow and pick up his nuts off the ground and shove him in the wheelbarrow and just tell Jamara that he's got a week off and going with all three of Darcy, Lobb and English. Now, it's fucking tall, but it could just work because Darcy is pretty mobile, as is Lobb. Lobb is okay for a guy his size, and obviously English is pretty mobile as well. So we'll see what they do. Maybe they're happy with Lobb playing VFL because there might be something in his contract where he has to play a certain amount of AFL games to get a bonus or something. So maybe Darcy's the future of that forward line slash ruck anyway. So are they really going to go with Lobb, who's, what, in his 30s?
Yeah.
When
it's Bevo.
Yeah, and they didn't make finals last year. So, like, something's got to give. And Sam Darcy's too good to be playing VFL.
And we're talking about a coach here that subbed out Libba.
Oh, don't remind me.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, and played anyway. Bontempelli up forward.
Yeah, fuck you, Bevo.
But remember, I said this last week. I said that it's open for him to do whack shit like that, and it happened.
Yep, correct. Next one up forward, Harvey Thomas, my boy. 175K, he's a mid-forward, minus 52 break-even, 64 average. He got that 107 and got robbed of a fucking Rising Star nomination. Fuck you, George Wardlaw. Anyway, he seems to be... Everyone remember the old term in class, TP? He's the CP. He is absolutely the CP, and he is holding his own in this team, even though he looks like he's in fucking year 7 and just started high school. So, Paddo, what are your thoughts on Harvey Thomas?
I think he's an okay trade-in option, and I'm an idiot because I brought in Darcy last week. So I'm looking for a downgrade target, and it could be Thomas. Now, he has already gone up 57K off his 107, but that 107 stays in his price cycle. So even if he goes 40 to 50 for the next couple of weeks, he's still going to go up a fair amount. It's just whether he has another spike score. And I'm looking at his next 5 weeks. I don't know if it's happening, Dano.
Yeah. And look, I don't know if it's happening either. I think it does look good, though. Better options. Yeah. It looks
promising footy-wise.
I feel like if you started him at the 117K mark, you're doing all.
Yeah.
Now, fuck this name, honestly. Is it McKelty LeFou? LeFou?
LeFou.
McKelty LeFou. Fuck. At 102K, minus 6 break even, a humongous 33 average. I'm going to let you talk about him, Paddo, because fuck that.
So I know it doesn't scream pick me, but he's 102K. You wouldn't need his scores. He would be your F8. So I'm looking at this as you're maximizing the cash. So if you're looking at downgrading a Jordan, a Fife, a Billings, of that sort of guy, it gives you an extra 20, 30, 40K to go a bit higher with your upgrade. So that's where the appeal is. Look, LaFalle will make money. And it's just going to be over a very long period of time. And it's worth noting that he is still new to AFL. He only really started playing AFL full-time last year when he was playing for the Richmond VFL program, then got picked up in the supplement period this year. Ex-NRL player. He is a New Zealander as well, so didn't grow up playing footy or anything like that. So he's very much learning on the job. And with Bolter and Lynch going down on top of the key forward stocks that we already have, like, he's not an out-and-out key forward. He's more of your medium tall, but, I mean, he's pretty much going to have to play full forward for us now. I don't love the St Kilda matchup, but there is a West Coast matchup in round five. So if we can get a cheeky little bag of three or four goals in that game and we can get him to an 80, he might be able to make us 150K by round eight or nine. And that might be enough at 102K. But we are scraping the bottom of the barrel. I realize it doesn't look great, but I think there's room for growth there if he gets the games. It's kind of like when Callum Brown first came into the Giants team. Dano, this Irish kid who physical specimen looks like he could tear apart even Shane Mumford, but he would do dumb shit and the ball would come off the side of his foot and we thought, and you're thinking, what the fuck's this guy on? He's come good, and it may not happen this year for LaFau, but if he can make us 100K, I think it'd be okay.
Now, Pato.
Now, Dano.
There's a bloke that I want to discuss. And it's just, you know how you're just scrolling through, just trying to find a player and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. And I'm trying to find his time on ground percentage here, in all honesty, because I actually don't know how long he was on the fucking ground for. But since we're screaming for some rookies, how would a 30-year-old key forward sound if he's under 200K?
Sounds disgusting.
I'm talking about Matt Taberner here of the Fremantle Dockers. He's only played the two games, and like, if you can find his time on ground percentage, that would be absolutely fucking amazing. Oh, here we go. Time on ground, 102 minutes, 58 seconds of 122 minutes. So that's not too shibby shabby last round. And then the time before that, the time after that, I should say, because that was his first game. Time after that, he had 100 minutes of 116 minutes on field. So he's warming back up into it because this bloke hasn't played a full season in yonks. And he's currently listed at 172,000, Pato. And in three games' time, he's got West Coast. And I'm just looking at it going, whoa, is there something there? And I feel like when Sean Darcy gets back, it'll be one of a miss. Taberner or Tracy, Treacy, however you fucking pronounce that dude's name, will go out. And I feel like it'll be Tracy, whatever the fuck his name is. Yeah.
Now, I understand the theory. I really do. But I would almost prefer one of the inflated rookies. So Thomas Cadman for an extra 20K, Buku Kamas for an extra 10K, Harvey Gallagher, even Chris Burgess, those sort of guys who are around the same price. There's also someone that's played two games with a break even of negative 16, Dano, that actually has a defense role, who plays North Melbourne this week, and that is Noah Answorth, who has shown okay scoring previously, with some spike scores in there, and they've got a bit of a defensive crisis down there at Brisbane as well as a Vegas crisis. So one to consider, I think, that would be a better option than old man Taberner.
Yeah, and good point there, because Answorth scored an 80 against Fremantle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just looking at some left fielders there for you guys. If you like them, you like them. Considering the way that the key position forwards are going in Supercoach, it might not be a bad roll of the dice. Anyway, we're going to primo trading options, Pato. And the one that's been scaring me, because I've got Jaden Short at the moment and I'm probably going to hold him this week, but if I was going to trade him to anyone, it might be this guy. And that's Lachie Whitfield at 544K, 117 average, 10% ownership, 70 break even. The only problem with Whitfield is, Pato, he needs a high volume of disposals or otherwise he's going to score shit.
And the other problem is he hasn't played a full game of footy ever, a full season of footy, I should say. So that is the other concern, and we're going to talk about that with a couple of other guys as well that are getting talked about a lot, which I'm going to try and call the Jets on our listeners about because of the obvious injury issue. Now, what Whitfield is scoring great, yes. He looks great, yes. He's scored very well in this role before, yes. He's in less than 10% of teams, yes. But the man gets injured every single year, and it's sad. I hate when superstar players like this do get injuries most years, but that is the harsh reality. And Lachie Whitfield never plays a full season, so you are pretty much banking two trades. Yes, he's great value. I get it. Yes, he will score well. Yeah, but until he gets injured, and that is the sad reality of trying to look at Lachie Whitfield as a super coach option.
Fair enough, and well assessed there, Paddo. Will Powell, the next one from the Suns, not to be confused with Tom Powell of the Kangaroos.
Powell season, baby.
Powell season. 532K, 111 average, 2% ownership, so POD galore there. 95 break-even, I believe that is, Paddo.
Yep.
So he looks good in that role. Everyone was looking at what Connor Butterick and Alex Sexton in that role, and then Will Powell's just like, nah, this motherfucking backline bitch. So, yeah, I like him as a bit of a POD there.
Yeah, agreed. I feel like his ownership should be more than 2%. He looks really good in this role. He's playing that Jaden Short role. He's getting a bunch of kickouts. He's the main guy out of defense there. And 123 in round zero, 118 round one, 92 against the Dogs at Mars Stadium in round two. So great scoring. And 532K is good value when we're starting to see the top end guys get out of reach in terms of value. So Luke Ryan, 644K. Tom Stewart, 623K. Like, they're out of reach now. You shouldn't be spending more than 600K on a defender when you're trading them in, I believe. And I think Will Powell could be a top 10 defender. He is right now. Obviously, Dacos will make a move. We say that. He's still averaging 108 Dano, so it's not like he's fucking terrible. but I feel like he consolidates himself in that sort of 6 to 10 range, and I think it's really good value. And I think it might be he might score more than Jordan Clark at a similar price point. I know Jordan Clark is still under 500K, and I know he's scoring well, but I do feel like that drops off a little bit, and I think Will Powell doesn't drop off.
Just quickly on Clark, the fact is he's only gone sub 100 in, I think it's like he's played like 6 or 7 games in that new role and gone sub 100 two times. And I think one of them was in the 80s, and then the other one was like 98. So I actually really like Jordan Clark as an option, and he's still under 500K. We don't have him on the run sheet, but, yeah, we spoke about him last week, and I think people are sleeping on him.
Yeah, cool, Bobby.
Yeah. Now, Paddo, we were talking about left field ballsy calls and whatnot, and I was looking into this guy and like, holy fuck, when Wayne Miller went down, he did not only had the most kick-ins for Adelaide, but he had the most kick-ins in the entire game, and that's Mark Keane at 289K, 90, got a 92 average, 0.2% of teams, and a negative 18 break even. So that I like looking at it from that spike game and just reading into it a bit more. So Miller went down, he ended up taking the kick ins, intercepting everything. Could this be their way of moving the ball out from the kick-ins? Because people have been thinking Jordan Dawson was going to go back into defense. Matty Nix came out and said, no, Dawson is a midfielder, so he's not taking the kick-in. Is it Keane season?
It could be. It could be. I think the other promising thing is that he had 11 marks, which is good, obviously. I don't think they're going to concede 15 behinds every game, like Freo scored.
Mm.
So there's that. The kick-to-handball ratio is also very, very good. So it's tough. I'd want to see one more week of data before jumping on, but you can't really afford to with a break-even of 18.
Yeah. It's kind of like no guts, no glory you wrote on this run sheet, Paddo, and I reckon that's 100% true. No matter what, he's going to make you cash.
The bottom line. If it's a fuck-up pick and he gets 60s or 70s, the very worst-case scenario – you trade him out in a few weeks for a profit. Obviously, you don't want to think of worst case scenario, but you have to. In every trade, you have to think about, how this could go well, but also how this could not go well. And not going well could be he's only getting 60s because he's playing more lockdown. But
now,
he'll still make money in that.
Yeah. Now, the thing that I want to – it's a bit of a play here, Paddo, with Keane. So we've got round four now, round five, that's two games. If, and we got to look into this, if the changes happen, the DPPs happen at the start of round six, so before the round starts, and he does fuck up, you would have had those two price rises with that 118 already in his rolling average.
Correct.
So then you could trade him out and flick a Colby McKercher into your defense.
Yep.
I really think that this could be a really fast play, and I don't see any downside unless the dude fucking gets injured or whatnot next game.
Yeah, and I mean, careful what you wish for with the way that defenders have been going down lately, Dano. But yeah, I agree.
And he is actually one that I was half tempted to trade short to just for a quick cash grab. And then, yeah, anyway, I know that sounds weird, but some of us have fuckloads of trades, Paddo. anyway,
not me.
I know, not you, not half of the comp that's already used two boosts, and I've used none. Okay, so we'll move on to the next one, which is Nick Vlosten and Jeremy McGovern. We lumped them in together. So Nick Vlosten, 560K, 123 average, 2% owned, and 83 break-even. And then you got Jeremy McLovin McGovern, 518K, 124 average, 3% owned, and 33 break-even. So I want to start with McGovern first, Paddo, because I was actually looking at bringing him in. I know that sounds dirty, but then I looked into it a bit more. Injury history, not that great. There's also been talks, and I don't know why, of West Coast moving McGovern up forward.
I haven't heard.
I know. Yeah. So this has absolutely turned me off Jeremy McGovern.
So what you're saying is it's Tom Barrass season.
McGovern could be the Tom Barrass, and Barrass could be the McGovern.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, I know. It's filthy to think about. And then Nick Vlosten. Yeah, to be honest, I'm actually expecting him to get like 160, 170 this week. I feel like he's going to have a massive spike game even further than what he's already had. And then in 2 weeks' time, he could ping a hammy. So they're both massive injury risks. And I've already got a lot of injury risk players in my team. I don't feel like adding any more. And what are your thoughts on this, Paddo? Because, yeah, it's I don't want to get sucked in.
Yeah, my thoughts are that when picking these sort of guys, you got to start them.
Yeah,
because if they do, or if, or it's probably more when than if, but when they get injured, you're using another trade. Like, and you're only using one if you started them, but if you bring them in, and like I had this with a non-injury prone guy last year, I brought in Tuke Miller, and he got injured that game, and obviously that was painful. So you don't want to bring in a guy for him to get injured that week. I must add Dano, last year Jeremy McGovern played two great weeks for the first two rounds in 108 and 116, then got injured for a 48.
Yeah.
Then his first game back, he got subbed out and he had 116 in about three quarters against the Lions. But then went 57, 67, 81. So McGovern has these spike scores, but he also plays about eight games a year on average. And Nick Forston actually came off a year where he played a lot last year, but he also wasn't asked to do as much as he's doing this year.
Yeah.
So that's where you've got to assess your risk appetite. And I don't think I love
it. Yeah. You don't McLovin. Okay.
I must say, though, Nick Vlosten's performance against the Swans was almost as good as seeing Melbourne United choke another lead against the Jack Jumpers on Sunday.
Midfielders. So there's one here that I would want to move heaven and earth to get in, and I'll explain why. But the first one, Tuke Miller, 572K, 123 average, 23% owned, 76 break even. To the guy on Twitter that told me, "Ew, why the fuck would you start Tuke Miller?" And then the next guy that we're talking about, that just seems dumb. They're not going to be top 10 mids. Fuck you. You talked me out of the next guy after Tuke, but at least I started Tuke. So don't let people talk you out of what you think, okay? Don't listen to the excess noise. Take into consideration potty advice and whatnot, but make your own choices. Don't get sucked in, because I've been sucked in a few times. Or sucked out of things, but not sucked off, which is the preferred method.
I'm no expert on that. Well, give me it. The thing is, Tuke and Jack Steele, who's the next person that we're going to talk about, they've both done it before.
Yeah.
So it's not a Matt Crouch situation where he's never done it before.
And yeah, he has.
He's never been top 10.
But he's gone 110, so.
Correct, but he's never been in that top echelon of average. Yep. He's always been not quite there when playing.
Yeah.
But that's the difference. And same with even an Ollie Wines, Dano. And I know a lot of people did start Ollie Wines, and they are probably kicking themselves with the news of him missing this week, but I am getting way off topic. I think Miller and Steele both represent really great value. I started Took, and I'm bringing in Jack Steele this week because he's about to drop 150 on Richmond.
Yeah, Jack Steele is 557K, 122, 15% owned 70. So, yeah, Jack Steele is the one that I feel like is the – if and this is the thing. A lot of people already have their midfielders, right? I kind of wanted Nick Martin to fuck up last round. He didn't. He went really good. So now I can't trade the fuckery out to Jack Steele because it makes no sense. I held the fucker, now I've got to hold him. If you have an Ollie Wines, you find the fucking cash to get Jack Steele in.
Yeah, I feel like that's a no-brainer. I just want to break this down quickly, Dano, for people at home. So we're starting to see the midfield group kind of settle itself. So in terms of averages, we've got Sarong, Green, Raoul, Merritt, Butters as your top five. I feel like of those five, Matt Raoul might drop off a little bit. I can't see him averaging 130. I think he'll average well, but it won't be 130. Then you've got Bontempelli coming off a lower score because of his, they're sort of managing him. Then you have Took at seven. You got Setterfield at eight, and that drops off, no doubt. Then you've got Steele at nine. You've got Willem Drew at 10, who is quietly having himself a great start to the year. But again, I think he drops off a bit. Then you've got Lachie Neale. He's done it before. He'll probably be in that top 10 group. James Warple, again, quietly having himself quite the start of the year, but will not maintain. I'm pretty confident in saying that.
Yeah.
Of the guys in this next group, you've got Rory Laird, who will jump up, you would think. Petrarca, who is probably performing below what we know he can do. Matt Crouch is 16th currently in terms of midfield averages, but that's including guys like Flanders, who are DPPs, so that has to be mentioned. Then you've got the next group down. So you've got Dunkley, who we've seen him do that before. He's dropped off a bit. Tom Liberatore coming off his subbing. He's down a bit. Luke Davies-Uniacke has not started off the year well, but he will be a nice, cheap bring-in very soon. Then further down, Taranto, I don't think will be in that group, so not worth a mention there. And I'm still scrolling, Dano. I'm trying to find him. Where, have I gone past him? I have to have, because I'm up to the 80 averages. There he is. 50th ranked midfielder in terms of average, Clayton Oliver, 92 average. And talking of super cheap and proven performer, he won't be much cheaper than this. He plays his favourite team, Adelaide, this weekend at Adelaide Oval. We know how much he likes that matchup. So when you think of it like that, and you just try and work out who the top 10 will be, I can see Took and Jack still being in there. I can't see Matt Crouch being in there. And I feel like if you can get two of those top 10 guys at either 570 or 557K, whichever of the two you don't have, I think you try and move heaven and earth to bring them in. That's probably a long way of saying that.
Yeah, unless you got other priorities like me, who needs Sam Flanders.
Stupid sexy Flanders.
Stupid sexy fucking. We'll move on to the forwards. So there's a bit to unpack in the forwards here, Paddo.
Yeah, this is wild when you look at this.
Oh, fuck. One of them I really want to talk about, and that's the one from St Kilda. Anyway, we'll start off with the obvious one. Isaac Heaney, 591K, 139 average. Still only in 37% of teams. Don't understand how. 63 break even. Dude's got West Coast. Fucking, just everyone's like, we still don't want to trade him in because Taylor Adams is back this week. Who gives a fuck? Isaac Heaney is in Brownlow medal contention. Get him the fuck in.
Like, yeah, seriously. 100%. You're not going to get him this cheap for the rest of the season. I'm shocked he's only in 37% of teams, don't I?
Yeah, I thought it'd be over 50 by now. Anyway, Tom Powell, the next one, the one from the Ruse, not to be confused with Will Powell, the one from the Suns. 375K, 105 average, 17% ownership, minus 6 break even. Brought this guy in last week, Paddo, because as you know, I was looking at starting him and instead got sucked into the Zach Fisher hype. Paid my dues, got him back in now. Do we need to talk about him again? Because we already spoke about him last week, saying worst case scenario, he makes you cash. He could even be an F6.
Yeah, I think that still rings true. I put him in there because it's still only in 17% of teams. If you wanted to see it for another week, I think we've seen his worst case scenario game, and that's about a 90, where he didn't use the ball terribly well. I think he went at about 60% from memory. So if this is his worst score, that's good enough for F6 or even F4 probably, in all honesty.
Yeah. So the one that I think is a must-have that I'm moving heaven and earth to get in is Sam Flanders at 528K, 118 average, 41% owned, 73 break-even. Got put off in that preseason game, Paddo, where the Giants just absolutely whooped the fucking Suns. But he's been good. And, yeah, there's not much more I can say. Like, who's he got this week?
The Giants. So I'm actually okay with leaving another week because I don't feel like he will have a massive score. Now, he may still get 90-odd, but in terms of price movements, I'm going Steele over Flanders as my priority this week just because I think Steele scores more than Flanders. But Flanders is still absolutely on my radar, has the Hawks next week and then the Swans. I don't think he's a tag risk, honestly, because there's too many other guys that you would go to before Flanders. So I think he is a must-have eventually. But if you don't have him, I don't think you need to prioritize him this week unless you already have Steele and Took. Then you can probably go Flanders.
Fuck, now I'm going to rearrange my team again. question though, Paddo, because we've got so many playing rookie mids, do you trade one of them out to get Jack Steele in then? Because we know rookies are scarce at the moment. You kind of want to keep them going.
So I think it depends on break even. I'm actually trading out James Jordan this week, and that is because Taylor Adams played VFL on the weekend and will probably come into the team. Now, I know
he's been named.
Yeah,
he's going to play.
I know they've got West Coast this week. I think that's a kind of nothing game for him, and I don't even know if he keeps his spot with Taylor Adams coming back, Dano, and that's how strong that Swans team is.
So I'm talking midfield rookies, not mid-forward, mid-price.
So who are you talking about, though? So we've got McKercher, who still only has a break-even of negative 16.
Correct.
Roberts, negative 28. Sanders, negative 40.
Correct.
I don't think you can trade any of those guys out.
Harrell, Sharp, Clark. I'm talking my fucking midfield right now.
You can't trade any of those out.
Exactly. So what do you do? Do you trade a Marcus Bontempelli down to a Jack Steele? Probably a dumb idea.
No, that's very silly, Dano. We don't do that sort of shit here at Supercoach Co-Captains.
Like, what do you do?
You don't have any DPPs in your midfield.
No DPPs in my midfield.
Wow. See, I've got Wilson and Manor in my midfield that I can swap around with Lazaro and Fife in my forward line. This is why DPPs are super, super helpful.
Yeah, really. Like, the only other option I would honestly have is trading Nick Martin out, but he's just gone 63, 93, 136. So,
yeah, not sure you can do that.
Oh, well, might have to miss out on Jack Steele.
For now. You're just going to be 50 when he goes 150 this week.
Yeah, anyway, moving on to his teammate, and this is the one that I'm really interested in, Paddo. It's Max King of St Kilda. 341K, 113 average, in only 2% of teams, minus 29 break-even. The bloke had Brendan Goddard come out and said Max King is looking like prime Nick Riewoldt, right? And he fucking is. And I want to quickly quote, like, you know, the Scottfather, Abs Magic, he's picking him this week. He said Max King will make his Abs Magic debut this week.
I was just reading that tweet before.
Yeah. His heat maps are apparently off the charts. And Prime Enru, he got up the ground a lot more, played on along that wing and whatnot. Half tempted, Paddo, to ignore Sam Flanders and go this bloke.
It's another play where worst case scenario, he makes you money. And he'll obviously make more money than Flanders at least this week. I also like the run, Dano. He's got Richmond this week, which is a really good matchup against a team that has very little in terms of defenders. Well, key defenders anyway. The Giants and Bulldogs and Port Adelaide, three games in a row, they are tough matchups. So that's where it's not great. But then he has North and Hawthorn back to back. So even if he goes 50 to 60 odd in those 3 weeks in a row, worth noting, mind you, though, Dano, that last year Max King had a lazy 135 against the Giants around 10 and a lazy 96 against the Bulldogs last year around 2. So, look, it's not crazy, but the thing is you're bringing him in as a stepping stone, and again, it's just how – I mean, for someone like you that's been a tight ass with their trades, it probably works for you.
Yeah.
But if you're blowing trades like I am, left, right, and center, then I feel like it's a miss because you don't want to bank in another trade down the line if you've been aggressive already.
Yeah, and there's something in the water with the fucking key position forwards this year. My God, like Harry Mackay, prime example, just going bananas. Even Aaron Cadman starting to play decent, even though he's had two really easy games. Like, yeah, key position forwards, something about him. Anyway, the last guy on the list, and this is another guy that I was throwing around in my team, Paddo, looking at how he scored off that halfback flank, and that's Dane Zorko at 496K, 103 average, 3% of teams own him, 79 break even. Now, we went into looking at, okay, he scored good when the game where McKenna played and got kicked out of the game, Zorko wasn't playing great, and then all of a sudden gets put on that halfback line and got a piss ton of touches and just looked really good. And then last game, he played the whole game halfback flank, got a piss ton of touches, looked really good. So do they bring someone in that actually can, like, it is their role as halfback flank, or do they just persist with Dane Zorko? And we honestly won't know until another game's played.
Yeah, look, I honestly try and avoid dickheads, and that's why I don't love Dane Zorko. It's impossible to ignore the fact that he does score really well in this halfback role. And he is, however, also 35 years old and also comes from the school of Jeremy McGovern in terms of injuries, and also comes from the school of Toby Green for suspensions.
Hey, Toby's been clear for the last couple of years.
He has. But Zorko always does something stupid. Probably did something stupid in Vegas to cause Brisbane to be 0-4, too, by the way. But we won't speculate. We don't spread false rumours like Sam McClure. So, look, it's a tough one. But again, you bring him in for him to probably miss games this year, and then you're banking in another trade. Yeah. He could well be a top six forward with 2% ownership.
Yeah.
Well, he's currently in more teams than that now, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Could be one of those ones where you let him go because of the injury history. And hey, maybe if it gets around 18 and he's still playing and he's averaging 100, you can jump on him as a bit of a risk to try and rise up the ranks. But I think it's too early to make a play like that.
Go to question time, Paddo. So go to Facebook, because I think Twitter has deserted us. Chris Walker-Jones said, "Hey, Kings, I like the look of Draper from Frio and still have Caulfield in my team. But any risk against the Twin Towers of Carlton this week? Frio better team than Norths, so ball shouldn't be coming in non-stop to Frio backline. But after watching two in the pink, one in the stink," okay, Toby Pink, I just added that in there for fun, "looked like a schoolgirl last week against Colonel."
Yeah. Yeah, Dano. We don't want Jake Stringer listening to our podcast, so just... enough.
Can I just say he looked good in the
Holidays. Of course he did.
School holidays. Anyway.
Your friend didn't have to go to school on Monday.
But after watching Pink look like a schoolgirl last week against Kerno and Mackay, could it happen again this week? Still like his job security with Stinky Cox out for 8 weeks. I know he is no Tom Barras, but is he a decent rookie pickup this week? So we already discussed buyer beware with him, because they've got Warner and, fuck, I've forgotten the other one.
Chapman.
Yeah. Got those two coming back. So I don't see him as a priority.
I agree. I think if Warner and Chapman both are named as well as Draper, I think you can be confident of his job security shorter term. But with those guys coming back in, I think he plays a bit more accountable, and that's not great for his scoring.
Yeah. Long-time listener Tate says, "Jack Steele or Lockie Whitfield? Tempted by Whitfield due to the less attractive rookie defenders. Also, not that I'm sold on Powell, but if he is a keeper, what about Fife to Powell? Worried Fife is due for a spell, a sub, or a breakdown." So we'll start off with the first one. We already established Jack Steele over Lockie Whitfield, correct, Paddo?
Yeah, I think... yeah, just because of the injury issues with Whitfield, sadly, I think Steele is the go-to guy there. I know Steele had injuries last year, but it was sort of a once-off thing, and it was a shoulder. It's not soft tissues constantly.
Yeah, no, it was a fucking bone break.
Yeah, exactly. And he came back after like 2 weeks. It was fucking ridiculous. Like, just take an extra couple of weeks, mate, and get back to averaging 110 for us. But anyway,
yeah.
Nat Fife's going back-to-back 69s. Ayo. So pretty happy with that. With a break even of 45, I think you can wait another week on Fife. He's only made 36K. And I feel like there's a big score coming. The role is there. He's also got West Coast in a couple of weeks as well. So I think you hold him out until at least the West Coast game because he is playing in that midfield. Knowing my luck, he'll probably be named as the starting sub against West Coast and play a quarter and score 40 in that quarter. And you think, fuck, what if? But I guess we'll see. If Fife goes another 50 or 60 odd this week, I think it's a trade out next week. But I think we need to at least give him one more week.
Pantelis, okay. Peter said, I'd love to get your thoughts on James Jordan now that Taylor Adams is back. Also, Max Holmes has been a bit meh. So I think Taylor Adams will affect James Jordan. For some reason, they've named Taylor Adams against West Coast. He's going to start sub, you reckon, Paddo?
I have a feeling he may be the sub, yeah. I think he played a half in the VFL from memory, and I think he had 10 tackles in that half, which is pretty fucking ridiculous. In terms of Holmes, I think – so we already touched on the whole Jordan while Taylor Adams is around. So I think Jordan as a trade-out is fine this week, especially if you can turn him into a Jack Steele type, which I am doing. Max Holmes, like, he had one over 100 score against St Kilda. So I think you almost take that with a grain of salt because all the halfbacks score like that against St Kilda. Western Bulldogs this week isn't a fantastic matchup either. I think the issue is he's 462K, and that's really, really awkward. I'm going to assume Pantelis already has Powell. I think that makes sense to downgrade to him. I don't know. If I had Holmes, I don't know what I would do, Dano. I feel like I would try and turn him into one of the big guys.
If Taylor Adams did play a half, he got 18 disposals in that half and been tackled.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Yep. Actually, I wonder if the app I have has now doesn't have game time. But he had a massive game in a half.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the VFL scores just to see how people went. Anyway, go back to the questions. Oh, Maxie Holmes, yeah. So he's still going okay, but not 100 plus like we thought. I think we'll see better games. Do you agree, Paddo?
I do, but is he going to be a keeper level defender?
Probably not.
Given to 86, so it's not even like he's got a low break even where he'll get over 500K. That's where it's awkward. But it might be a buy fix rather than a now fix because there's probably bigger issues.
Yeah.
And he at least gets DPP in a couple of weeks.
Now, Lloydy sent his as a DM, Paddo. Do you have that up?
I do, yes.
Okay. What was Lloydy's DM?
So Lloydy was saying that he had a horror round three and needs to be a trade slut again. Welcome to the club. to try and make up some ground. He's thinking about trading out Luke Davies-Uniac, Zach Fisher, and Blake Howes for Jeremy McGovern, Jack Steele, and Josh Draper. He's also thinking potentially LDU Fisher and Zach Williams out for Tom Green, Josh Draper, and Will Setterfield.
Or one more.
Or Steele, Miller, and Draper.
I think the last one, Steele, Miller, Draper.
I don't know if I can advocate trading out LDU, Dano, personally.
But if it gets you Steele and Miller.
I know he started off really well. The cash has already been bled. He plays Brisbane this week, which isn't a great matchup. But then he's got Geelong and Hawthorn, which are okay matchups. Then it kind of opens up again after that with Adelaide, St Kilda, Gold Coast, Essendon, Port Adelaide. So, look, it's a tough one. There are a couple of teams that tag in that run, actually. So maybe it is worth it to just bite the bullet. And, I mean, I'll be happy to pick up Davies-Uniac off his bye, ready to play West Coast in round 13, personally. But, it's a real tough one. On thought, I wouldn't hate bringing in Steele, Miller, Draper this week.
I'm just not sold on the Draper.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, if we can get Steele and Miller, sweet.
Yeah, but probably doesn't have the cash to go with Brown. Howes has been named, so if you can find another line rookie, Lloydy, and if that's a Sam Darcy, I think you can try and make that work. I would really like that, especially for a Billings type. Oh, wait, he sent me his team. He's already Darcy. Fuck.
Yeah, sorry, no, Lloydy. He said LDU Fisher and Zach Williams out for Steele Miller.
So he's looking at that who to downgrade. He's also got James Jordan, so he could possibly throw in Jordan in that trade out group.
Yeah.
And you'll even have a bit more cash, and you could maybe even go with Max King instead. So if you can try and – I'm not going to try and do the math because I'm too many Centauris, but
Hang on. He could trade out James Jordan, flick Flanders into the forward line because he's got Flanders on his midfield bench.
Yep.
And then you bring in like a Carroll or someone like that.
But I'm saying Davies, Uniac, Fisher and Jordan. And if you've got the cash to go steal Miller and Max King,
ooh.
I like that, but I'm not going to try and add it up.
All good. Did we get any questions on Twitter or did Scobie just forget about us again?
Nah, Scobie's left us for greener pastures. He's probably still pissed off at me because I was right about Nick Dacos.
And also the Jesse Hogan call too.
Yeah, we love you, Scobie.
Well, we're not called the Supercoach Co-Captains for nothing. Every week we give you guys VC and C scores to set your team apart from the rest. So we'll start with Thursday night footy, Adelaide versus Melbourne. Who you got, Paddo?
So I know his form hasn't been good, but I think this is the start of Oliver redemption season. I think he could almost get to his break-even of 164. He loves playing Adelaide. Had 176 against them in 2022, the last time he played them, before he found the 204 against them in 2021 in Adelaide. So there is his last two games against Adelaide in Adelaide.
What's his break even?
164. And I think he could get it.
Crazy. I don't mind it. I don't mind that at all. Another person that loves Adelaide is actually Max Gawn. So across his career, not just recently, but across his career, he averages 112 against them.
Yeah, but that's not enough.
That's across his career, Paddo, even when Max Gawn was shit. So his last three have been 120, 100, and 124. And the way that Maxi's going at the moment, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes 130 plus.
Yeah, no mind as a VC, especially coming off his 160-odd or whatever he scored.
177.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy. I'm not sure on anyone from the Crows. I'm just going to have a quick squiz.
Fuck that.
Rory Laird likes Melbourne.
Doesn't everyone? It's a great place.
I likes playing Melbourne. So if you got him, maybe wouldn't really. Is it Jordan Dawson redemption game, Paddo, or is he just going to keep plummeting?
No, I wouldn't be on his form. I wouldn't be advocating a VC for him at all.
Yeah,
especially with the contested nature of Melbourne and their midfield. No, not for me.
Okay, I can't really think of anyone else in this one. Oh, maybe a Petrarca, maybe. Anyway, we'll move on to Friday. Friday night footy or Friday Arvo?
No.
Friday Arvo maybe. Footy? Yeah, 5:10 p.m. evening.
Dude, that's 4:40 p.m. Adelaide time. That's disgusting on a weekday.
Brisbane Lions versus North Melbourne, so that's why that's at that time slot.
Hey, Norfolk could win this game.
Yeah, doubt it.
And it could be Fagan's last game.
If Brisbane lose to North, Fagan will be given the sack. They'll have a crisis meeting again.
Yeah.
Again. Chucky Neal.
Don't hate it.
I feel like Josh Dunkley redemption game.
Yeah, but he's probably going to be head-to-head with LDU, so LDU might have the spike.
Yeah. I wouldn't advocate anyone doing a Tristan Cherry because he's up against Big O and he likes to restrict Ruckman.
No.
Sheasel.
Maybe, but I don't think I'd waste a VC on him.
Waste a VC on someone averaging over 120?
No,
he's only played Brisbane once for a 100.
Yeah, but you don't want to. You want to try and find someone that can have a big spike game, and there's someone playing on Saturday afternoon against the worst team in the AFL.
Just saying, we got to give all these different options, Paddo.
We do.
Got to give all the different options. So I'm going with the Shees.
Okay.
In this one. Do you have anyone else that you can think of?
Not
before we move on. Okay, so we'll go to the next Friday game, which is an actual Friday night game. Port Adelaide versus Essendon. Zach Butters spike game in this one?
Possibly. I want to say Zach Merritt, who had 168 against them last year, the second time they played. But I also feel like he probably gets tagged.
Yeah.
And they might go with Parrish like they usually do. So I was actually looking at Merritt as a trade in this week, but playing against Port Adelaide scares me off because of Willem Drew. So,
do you want to hear something?
Yeah, Butters.
There's another Port Adelaide player that really likes to play Essendon, and that's Connor Rosie. If people have him, he's in 12% of teams. Last year, he got the big 141 against them. He averages 105.8 against them, and that's across his career. It's actually the second highest team behind... Oh, wait, no. Yeah, behind the Gold Coast Suns that he averages against is Essendon.
And he's been playing a bit of half forward, but with Ollie Wines coming out of that team, it could be a decent shout. But again, I'm not sure I would use the VC on him.
Yeah, well, the VC is going to be on the Saturday. Most people will do the VC on the Saturday. So anyone else you want to talk about in this one? Nick Martin for another 40-plus? Or
no, not against Port. He'll get 80 against Port.
Okay. Saturday, 1:30 p.m., Adelaide Hills, Mount Barker. We got West Coast Eagles versus the Sydney Swans. Bank it in now. Are you going to do your big stamp of approval, Paddo?
No, oh, Isaac Heaney, lock it in.
Isaac Heaney, lock it in, VC. Boom, shakalakadaka.
Lazy 150 against him last year, not even playing midfield. So imagine what he will do playing midfield.
Can I just say, watching Isaac Heaney, he has been dropping sitters in the forward line. His scores could be another 20 points higher.
Yeah, yeah. We know he's this good.
Oh, fuck.
The only slight concern is Taylor Adams, and hopefully it doesn't affect – like, surely it doesn't affect Heaney's midfield time. No. They should both be in there. But that's why it's good that it'll be a VC. So if he does play – I mean, if he does play forward, he might still get 140 because it's West Coast.
I don't think that Adams will play much mid.
I think he will, personally. But it should be next to Heaney, not instead of. But yeah. West Coast don't have a matchup for him in the middle or up forward. So wherever he plays, he's probably scoring 120 at least.
Need to mention anyone else?
No.
Not most people. Well, actually, 63% of the competition doesn't have Heaney still, Paddo. So
actually, yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't think there'd be that many people not playing already, but apparently there are. Someone that I'm not mentioning that I need to, and I should have thought about this probably even before Heaney, Brody Grundy, worth noting that West Coast do give up big scores to opposition ruckman. Grundy had 144 against them last year, and yes, that was when he was with Melbourne. So one to consider. I'm not sure whether you can go a VC against Heaney, but if for whatever reason you don't have Heaney, I don't mind Grundy as a VC.
Yeah, fuck West Coast. Moving on.
No, not fuck West Coast. I can have big captain scores against West Coast.
Yeah, fair enough. Keep playing shit, West Coast. Moving on, Freo Dockers versus the Twin Towers at Carlton at 4:20 p.m. Adelaide Oval, Paddo.
Yeah, so interestingly, this is by far Caleb Sarong's worst matchup in the AFL. He averages 67.5 against Carlton in six games. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a matchup thing.
Georgie Hewitt.
Obviously, it's a matchup thing. Yeah, I think George Hewitt is a pretty decent matchup against Sarong. So I would be avoiding that for what it's worth. If you have Sarong, obviously, if he scores well, you don't complain about it, but I would be avoiding the VC there. I'm not sure I love anyone in this game, Dano. Maybe a Luke Jackson in his possibly final game rucking without Shrek around. But even he averages 54 against Carlton in three games. So, yeah, I don't know. Luke Ryan?
Well, will Luke Ryan mop it up versus the Twin Towers? That's the thing.
He had 168 against them last year, so it wasn't too bad.
But Harry Mackay wasn't playing that good back then. Yeah, Harry Mackay didn't know how to play fucking football.
It was still Twin Towers.
One of them had fallen too soon.
No, because three of them fell.
I thought it was just the two.
No, there was another one down the road that also fell. Demolition jobs.
Okay.
George Bush Demolition Company.
Okay. We'll move on. Western Please. Bulldogs versus the Cats. Battle of the Pound, this one, at Adelaide Oval.
Now, I really, if Stanley doesn't play again and it's Conway, Tim English will feast on Conway. So I like that. I'm not sure you can trust Bontempelli and or Liberatore after last week's shenanigans, even though it's probably nothing and it was probably just because they were playing West Coast and just a chance to in-game manage a bit. But I would be steering clear of those two. No one has anyone from Geelong, so we don't need to mention them.
Okay. No one has Tom Stewart.
Oh, I didn't. I have Tom Stewart. if he gets up, I don't mind that. But with the big forward line, I'm not sure how free he can get if he has to defend a Jamari Ugle-Hayden type.
Yeah, okay. Sunday is the Suns versus the Giants, 10th versus 1st. Just want to rub that in. First place Giants.
Yes, we know.
Tom Green.
Yeah, yeah. Dimmer, for some reason, doesn't believe in tagging, so I like it. I also think it's a really good head-to-head matchup with Rouse, so will they possibly nullify each other? Maybe.
Nah. I think what will happen is what happened in the preseason.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I like me some... Yeah, Tom Green. Took is the only other one, in my opinion, that I could see the captain material in this. The Giants don't really have anyone that... They got someone that can go with Rowell. They got someone that can go with Noah. And look, Flanders, I think you are right. He will... He might not even make his break even at 73.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, but
didn't he score 60-odd against the Giants in preseason?
I think he scored less. It was like 50-something, and it really turned me off.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Now, Tom Green it is for me, and Took if you want to go with the Suns player.
I don't think anyone has him, but Jared Witt's against Briggs, I don't mind.
Well, that's if he plays.
He's not on the injury list, so he'd probably play.
Okay, because they named Ethan Reed.
Yeah, I guess he's playing forward.
So, yeah.
We'll see what teams
interesting.
Do.
Yeah. Interesting. Richmond versus St Kilda. Fucking Jack bank Steel. It in. Jack Steele. Fuck, yeah.
And if for whatever reason you have Nick Vlosten or are you bringing him in, you shouldn't bring him in. But if you do, chuck the C on him.
Jesus Christ. What about Jaden Sharp?
I think you'd have nuts of steel. No pun intended. I don't hate that. Because of how much St Kilda do concede to halfbacks.
I just want you to say that he's going 120 to make me keep him.
I think he'll go 100. I'll say 100.
Ah.
Because Vlosten could go 160.
Yeah, okay.
He could have a negative break even next week, priced at 580K, which is pretty nuts.
Left field option, Pato.
Max King?
Fucking Max King. You'd have big ass gonads of steel if you went him.
Yeah, but Vlosten's probably going to sit in front of him all game, so...
Well, Max King's been moving up the ground, mate.
True.
His heat maps are off the charts. Listen to Ab's Magic, the Scodfather.
I can't calm her down.
Calm her down. Okay. Last game, Collingwood versus Hawthorne. Now, Pato.
Dacos is scoring 50 in this game.
I don't think he will, because I don't think they're going to tag him.
Yeah, Finn's coming in to tag him. Don't worry about that.
If Finn McGuinness is not named, watch fucking a 150 come out of...
So,
Dacos.
Finn McGuinness was best on ground in the VFL for them.
Doesn't mean much.
It means a lot. Because you know they're making at least one change because Nick Watson went down.
True.
And Sam Mitchell has been open with the fact that Finn McGuinness, I don't think he specifically said Finn McGuinness, but he said that they will bring taggers in and out of the team dependent on matchup. So if you see Finn McGuinness named as an in, he's going to Nick Dacos.
Yeah.
Just in time to bring in Nick Dacos's score down for his buy in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Pato, what's your Twitter handle?
At PAOOSCCC.
And mine is at DANEOSCCC. So from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Pato.
And this is our signing.
The fuck off.
Oh, the girlfriend is now calling me, so good timing.